All right, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 21. I do preach on other things. It just happened to always come up. At the time I get on these things, sometimes the Lord just sends me down a path like this, and it's just a deep well, and we've just been on this for a long time. I think we're close to 40 messages on David, the life of David. But it's just, we're getting close to the end of it here, but it's just really been a help and a blessing to me, and I hope it has been to somebody else too. But so many great truths to learn from David.
Yes.
Thank God.
Yes.
For people like him.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read that. Let's start in verse 15. 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 15. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down, and his servants with him, and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint. Kind of sad, ain't it?
Yeah.
He's old. Still fighting. Fighting the same old enemy that he's fought all of his life. But he's getting weak and tired. And Ishbi-benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he, being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. Think again.
Yeah.
But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. Now that's the message right there. But I want to read these other verses here because it applies to you. It's just some more detail about what went on there. And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. And Sibbachai the Hushathite slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giant. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of, I can't hardly see here, Jeroregim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was yet a battle in Gath. See, these battles keep going on. But David's not killing the giants. His men are killing the giants. Where was a man of great stature that had on every hand 6 fingers and on every foot 6 toes? He had lots of trouble with math when he was a kid. 24 in number, and he was also born to the giant. We always had that in school. You know, I'd catch the kids counting on their fingers, and I'd say, no, you're going to run out of fingers way too quick here. There's too much more to learn. You can't do it with your fingers. So anyway, he also was born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. So that's just another little detail here. David had men that came along behind him that could kill him too. It didn't end with him. Everybody calls him the giant killer, but he killed giants, but there was some came right along behind him. They could do it too when he couldn't. Y'all get the message here. All right, Father, thank you for the songs. Thank you for the good services we've had this morning already. Please bless your word here for the next few minutes and help us, Lord, to drink this in. Look around us, apply it to our own hearts and to others around us, Lord, to help us to consider these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to consider 2 things here this morning about this passage of Scripture. Number 1, how David dealt with getting old and weak. And number 2, how the people dealt with David getting old and weak. That ought to be enough to keep us going for a while here. Old age is a blessing that not everybody gets to enjoy. Not everybody grows old. They sure don't. Many die in their strength of their youth or as an adult, and they never experience what it is like to grow old like David did here. So it is meant to be a blessing. It's something that comes on gradually, But there's usually a certain amount, a certain time. There's a certain moment when it, all of a sudden it's brought to our realization in a dramatic way that we're not what we used to be. Now, I know kids ain't going to understand this. You young people, you're not going to understand it because, it's one of those things, like I tell you often, just listen. Put it in your little backpack and where you can get to it because you're going to need it one of these days. You know, all older folks will tell you that they're the same person inside. It's just that their body can no longer keep up with them. See, it happens one day when we go out like at other times and we find that we can't do what we've always done. Time has cut our hair like Delilah cut Samson's. We think we can do it. And we start out to do it and can't do it.
Yeah.
You're going to surprise David that day?
I wouldn't do it.
He'd done this all of his life. He'd been in this situation many times before. And in his mind, he was the same person with the same strength. And it just wasn't there. Did you ever get in a tight in your car or something and, you're in traffic or whatever and you push on the gas and nothing happens? Kind of makes you panic, don't it? Anna's identifying with this now. Well, that's the way it works. That is just how it works. The feeling is sort of like when you step on the gas and it don't go. It's a surprise. It scares us and it throws our mind into a turmoil. And that's what happened to David here. Even though he was an older man, and the best I can figure, he was somewhere pretty close to where I'm at right now. It was after all the other trouble. This was not long before the end of his reign. So he was probably in his 60s when this happened. Even though he was an older man, now he thought he could do what he'd always done. Anybody ever had that problem? Dad, you ever had that problem yet?
Yeah, it's after
that. Well, I'm beginning to have that problem too. But when he engaged the giant this time, his physical strength failed him. And had it not been for his faithful and more youthful friends and family, this guy that saved him was his nephew, who had always been with him. He had been the most faithful one, really. He was Joab's brother. Joab was ruthless and mean. Abishai wasn't that way. He was just faithful to David. Whatever David said, that's what's going to happen. And he was ready at the drop of a hat to do whatever needed to be done. And he was there, watching. And this giant ain't going to kill David.
Right.
No. He would have died that time. All right, now, David's response to this development in his life was the right kind of response. And so that's what we want to look at for a minute here first. You know, a lot of people, when this happens to them, they start feeling sorry for themselves and they begin to seek pity and sympathy from others. Now, we've all been around older people a lot in our life. Esther, I guess, back in the nursery. No, there she is. She works around old people all the time. So she understands, she can put faces to what I'm talking about here probably more than any of us. But a lot of people, when they get old and they experience what David did here, they just go, they start feeling sorry for themselves and they start seeking sympathy and pity from other people. They give up and they count themselves as invalids and worthless. And I can't do nothing and I'm no good to anybody anymore. And I just don't. Not as well as to be dead because I'm just a burden on everybody.
Yeah.
David didn't do that. Neither should anybody else do that. They give up and they commit. They discount themselves as worthless. They cease to dream dreams. When you do that, you might as well be dead. I mean, I hate to be that rude about it, but when you quit living, you're dead.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
I've always said, I'd rather die living than live dying.
Yeah.
Yep. You ought to live until God calls you home. You ought to still dream dreams. The Bible says old men will dream dreams.
Yep.
Have visions. You ought to have a vision for the future. You ought to still be planning and hoping and going. If not for yourself, for your children and your grandchildren around you, looking ahead for them and hoping for them and thinking and preparing and building for them, doing what you can. Can't do what you used to do, but that don't mean you can't do anything. David's still the king. Just because he can't swing a sword, just because he's vulnerable there, doesn't mean he's worthless or that he's done. And that his life's over and he might as well move out of the way and let somebody else step up. No, that ain't the deal here at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you cease to dream dreams and you don't have any visions for yourself or anybody else ahead of you. Well, the devil, what he's able to do then is just rob you of your last opportunities that you have in life to leave something behind that made your life worth living. The devil takes it all. You lose the game. Others refuse to acknowledge that there's anything different in their life, and they stubbornly try to keep doing what they're no longer able to do. Now, that's the way this works. Here's the two types of old people. Some of them give up, and some of them just deny it. I can still do it. I can do whatever I want to. I've done it all my life. My grandpa worked with us So he got too old where he just absolutely couldn't. I was young, cutting trees. I had no idea what I was doing. He knew what to do. He'd done all of his life. He'd done things like that and done that. And he knew how to do it. But he couldn't. He'd try once in a while. I had to keep the saw in my hand because if I set it down, he'd grab it. But he'd fall. And he'd be real clumsy with it, and it would embarrass him. Because in his mind, he could do it. But when he went to do what he knew how to do and what he'd always done and done right, something interfered.
Yeah.
That's what happened to David here. A lot of times, people injure themselves, older folks do, and they end up crippled and in pain the rest of their lives and often confined to a nursing home or a wheelchair. There's an old lady who lives right down there. And some of you know who I'm talking about. But she can't hardly stand on her two feet. And it's been going on for years. And if it snows, you'll see her out walking to the post office.
Exactly. It scares you to death.
And if you meet her on the road, you better be on your toes. You better be looking for a place in the ditch to go because you're going to go there. Her and so many like her I've seen, and I'd say, if you fall and you break your hip, do you realize what life's going to be like for you? I ain't going to fall. And I know people like, we all got to. An uncle, I don't call his name, but falling all the time. Told him that last time we seen him. You need to be real careful and you need to keep that thing like the doctor told you to. Because if you fall and break something, then the rest of your life is just going to be in pain and miserable. You want to live while you can live. So do what you can do and be careful with what you got left. And don't try to be what you've always been, because you're not anymore. And we all got to face that. We're all heading there. And we're at different stages of arrival there. And so, that's what happens. They throw away the good life they had left by refusing to face reality and act their age. David showed no signs of that kind of behavior either. He had as much ambition to fight the Philistines when he was old as he did when he was young. I mean, that's the way our scripture started here. There was again war with the Philistines, and David went to battle. He didn't stay home. He got his sword, and away they went. He had as much ambition to fight them as he ever had. And it's a shame that he's still fighting them at the end of his life. Same old enemy. Y'all need to get that truth right there. It's the same enemy all of our life. We just think it's different. We think it's different people that's causing all of our problems in our life. No, it's the same old enemy. But one close call with death because of his weakness was enough for him to take the proper place as an old man now. Although he still knew how to fight. And, I mean, he was the champion. He knew how to fight better than any of the rest of them. All those men around him learned how to fight from him. David taught them. He was their example. They followed him for a lifetime to be what they are. And what they are, they can accredit to him. Whatever they know, however they know to fight, whatever they know about Philistines, they learned it from David. But it's time for David to change positions here. It's just too dangerous to try it anymore. And he didn't stubbornly insist that he be in the battle because he was wise enough to realize that he was a liability there now. And he'd put the other people in danger by insisting that he be there. That's right. They're going to be watching after him. And they might get killed while they're looking after him. Now that's fact. It's just the way it is. David was wise enough to realize. You're right. These are, you know, they're different stations for different times in life. You've got to realize that. You're young here this morning, you're a child, you're a young teenager, whatever, young people. Then there's us old people. There's different stages in life, and there's a different station for you in life. I'm not raising little bitty children anymore. That's not my responsibility. It's not what my life's about. It was for a long time. I tell people often, we had children in our house for 39 years straight. And I'm really only 39 years old. I just look like this from all the stress, see? The men of Israel they swore unto him that he would no more go out with them to battle, lest he quench the light of Israel. Now, a lot of older folks would have their feelings hurt, and they'd be very angry with their friends and their family who told them that. The men of Israel said, "You're not going no more." Well, now, you don't talk to the king like that. Is that the way it is? The soldiers give orders to the king? Well, they weren't giving orders. Listen. I mean, listen to the last thing he said there. The men of Israel weren't just kicking the old man out. That wasn't their attitude at all. Lest thou quench the light of Israel. They were saying, "We can't afford to lose you. What are we going to do if something happens to you?" That's what they were saying. "You're too important to us and to the nation to risk your life in these battles. We can fight these battles. You have taught us how to fight these battles. We'll do it. We don't want you getting killed." You know, this applies in a lot of things. I don't know where to put this in at, but let me just stop right here. You know, I've known of situations, a lot of you know what I'm talking about too, but I mean, you know, a 75-year-old man shouldn't be on a ladder 25 feet in the air cutting trees, limbs out of a tree. That ain't his station now. Shouldn't be on a roof when there's all kinds of young guys around. They can get on the roof.
Right.
Shouldn't have to carry such a load physically when he can't do it anymore. And that's what this deal is here. David's not lost it. He's just waxed faint. He's getting weak and tired. And he just can't do that anymore. But he ain't going to quit on his own. He's not going to tell his men and all the people of Israel, well, I just can't do it anymore. Well, the waxing faint of old age is compensated by the riches of wisdom and knowledge and that the experiences of a long life have given him. There's no need for an older person to despair and feel sorry for themselves and feel abandoned and lost and all worthless. No, no, that's not the way this thing's supposed to work. You lose your physical strength, and you may lose your ability, your sharp mind. Not everybody does. That's happening a whole lot more nowadays than it used to. Now, I know that's fact. I've known people. My grandpa died when he was 87, and he was just as sharp in his mind as ever was. And Miss Christ, 97 years old out here, and she's just, I mean, right on it. But it's a thing that does happen a lot. And it happens more now. You can't think as quick. You get things all muddled and all of that. That don't mean you're worthless. Let me just say what I've got written down here. There's a time when the old man needs to sit down and let others carry the load that he can no longer carry. There's cups in life that need to be passed to those behind you. It doesn't diminish your worth as an old person, but it means you take the place that belongs to you in this stage of your life. There's different stations and different stages of life. Just move over. You were glad to move into the position of husband when you got married. You were glad to move into the position of father when you had children and mother. All this applies to the women too. You were glad when they quit calling you a kid and considered you an adult. You were glad for all that. Why not be glad for this? This is the highest point before you graduate out of here. This is the place, the station of honor. You've wanted it all your life. Why can't you accept it as it is when you get old? It's a time when the old man needs to sit down and let others carry some of the load. It doesn't diminish anything about you. The wise and godly person will pass the cup and not cling to it until he takes the whole ship down with him, trying to do what he's not able to do anymore. And keeping everybody else busy just looking after him instead of fighting the enemy that's trying to destroy them all. And the responsibility of the younger. Now we talked about how we're going to talk about how they reacted to his old age and his weakness. The responsibility of the younger is to take the cup. Take it. When it's passed to you, take it. You're stepping up another stage in life. To another station in life. They should step up and take the load, just like Abishai did when he saw David was in trouble and was not going to be able to do it himself. He didn't move in too soon. He moved in just in time.
Yeah.
He waited until he saw that David wasn't going to be able to do it. Hear me? Then he did it. Nobody likes it being taken from them.
Yeah.
They got to pass the cup. You don't snatch it out of their hand.
Yep.
Now, we live in a world now that doesn't value the aged people, but it despises them. Sure does. There are a lot of people in this world right now that I think, or that I know, think it would be a good thing to abort the old people just like they abort their babies. And it's coming to that soon. This virus, who does it kill?
Old people.
Old people. Far and away. I mean, almost all, as a matter of fact, of the deaths are old people. It's almost like it was designed to do that. So, there are many in this world that think it'd be a good idea. What fools, you know, to think that way. Does it ever occur to them that they're going to be old? No, not really, because when I was young, I didn't think about being old. And you sitting here young this morning, you're not thinking about being old. You're going to feel just like you do forever. Once in a while, I'll tell her, you know, do you remember what it felt like to get out of bed? I could just work all day till dark, hard, go to bed, get up, and I felt just as good as new.
Yep.
That never happens anymore.
No.
I don't ever feel as good as new. And I'm still pretty good. But, you know, you think you're going to always feel that way. You're not. But it doesn't. That's just the nature of the whole thing here that we're talking about. People don't realize this. And that's why I say this is a message that you're just going to have to keep. You'll remember it one of these days. But among the older people are some of the most valuable treasures that exist in this world. If you can only get that, if we can only get that in our real, in our consciousness, really, and start looking. Wow. That old man sitting there with his hat on, you have no idea what he has been through, what he's experienced, what he can tell you, what he knows how to do, what he has done. You don't know what's made him into what he is. I think about Raymond a lot when he's here, you know. You just see him as an old man. You don't see him as a young man over there in the jungle.
Right, yeah. That's right.
Scared to death.
It's true.
David was one of them when he was old. He was very valuable. They said once just before this that they said thou art worth 10,000 of us. He was. I said, well, that's prejudice. No, ain't prejudice, that's fact. There's people that are valuable. And he was one of them. More valuable than other people as far as their ability to contribute and be a blessing. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yes.
He was worth a whole lot more now when he's old than he was when he was young and slaying giants for the first time. You hear me? He got all the songs back then. Remember how the women sang? Saul's killed his thousands. David's killed his 10,000s. Hooray for David. Made Saul mad. What started the whole trouble? Oh, he's worth 10,000 times more now than he was then. And Abishai understands that. And so do the men of Israel. It wasn't just Abishai, it was the men of Israel swearing to him, saying, thou shalt no more go out to battle with us. We ain't taking no chances on losing you. We got to have you. And we want you to stay as long as you can stay. We're not wanting to get rid of you. We need you for what you know. We need you for what you can tell us, what you can advise us. We need you because what you know about God. He was the light of Israel. Many other folks are the light of their family, or their church, or their town. When they're gone, it's just a darker place than it was when they lived. And that's real to me. There are just certain people that you can subtract and it just changes the whole thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot about the work of God that is for the strength of youth. But there's a lot about the work of God that when we're young, we lack the wisdom to do in God's way. It's funny, you know, unless you're blind to everything, you start getting older and you remember. You go back reviewing. You know, that's what old people do. That's why they like to talk about the old days and all that. They're always reviewing their life, which is a good thing. You need to review your life once in a while.
Sure.
Keep adding it up. See how it comes out this time. You see what I mean? I can remember back years ago when I was young. Boy, I was going to do something for God. And I remember older people talking to me, trying to counsel me, and trying to tell me things. And I wouldn't listen. I thought they just old, hard-headed, turtle-back, you know, sitting in the church, didn't want to do nothing, blah, blah, blah. They were right. Now, I can just see that picture in my mind of them talking to me. And I just hang my head. Oh, Lord. I know why they look like they did. I know why they had that expression on their face. I know what they had in their heart. What they were really trying to do. They were trying to help me.
Yeah, that's right.
Avoid swamps that I fell into. If I'd have listened to him, I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, that's right. True.
You see, I was young. I could stay up all night. I could drive all night. I could leave home for 6 or 8 weeks and not even think a thing about it. You can do that when you're young. Mm-hmm. When you get old, you don't want to do that anymore. You can't do that anymore. But you don't know what you're doing. Do you ever wonder why God lets us all live and there's such a diversity among us in age and stuff? Why does all the instructions in the Bible given to the aged men, the aged women, the young men, the young women, the children, the servants, the masters? That's how He divides it all up every time.
Yeah.
We're all in this together.
Yeah.
Everybody has a station. Everybody has a part. And there's more, some parts that are more important than others.
Right.
More valuable than others. And we put all the value on youth. See, we live in a culture that puts all the value on youth. And boy, you got to keep looking young no matter what you do. No matter how much pain it takes, whatever medicine it takes, surgery it takes, you got to keep that youthful look. And that's not where the honor's at. Nope.
Yep.
The hoary head is a crown of honor if it be found in the way of righteousness. Youth has zeal, and youth has strength, but it's woefully short on experience.
Yes. Yeah.
And wisdom and knowledge and understanding come only by experience and are treasures of a good old age. You know, if I go to have surgery, they're going to cut me open to work on my heart. I remember Brother Parker saying it one time. He said, when I go to a doctor like that, I want to see some gray hair.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see a little upstart that just got his degree and hasn't ever done anything. I want somebody that's got some experience. You climb on an airplane to fly to California or around the world, and you look up there in the cockpit and it's some little ruddy-faced boy that just got his license, and you're going to feel more comfortable if it's an older man with some gray hair showing, ain't you?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you are. We had a boy and went to church with us years ago, and he was flying Continental Airlines by the time he was 23. And I knew that boy. And I said, if I got on that plane and I looked up there and he was in the cockpit, I'd jump out the window. Because I knew how he rode a horse. I knew how he drove a car. I knew how he did everything else in his life and went around with casts and crutches all the time. And no. I don't know where he ever went. Don't know what ever happened to him. But he would be older now. And I bet you that he'd be more calmed down. Broken bones and experience and pain and all that teaches you a lot of things. When you're young, you don't. You just slam, bam, jerk, run over, push, whatever. You make it happen.
Yep.
When you get old, you've already figured out you've got the bruises and the knotty joints and everything, and you realize what that costs.
Mm-hmm.
Tell my young boys that often, you know, you better take it easy. You know, slamming and banging and hitting, and that's going to hurt from now on.
Yes.
I'm okay. I feel so good. These little kids, you know, they just feel so good, they just can't stand themselves. If you go, they start dancing. I mean, they just can't help it. But that diminishes with time. That does. But something else increases with time. That makes you much more valuable, see.
Oh, yeah.
This makes the aged among us priceless resources in the work of God, because they've got wisdom, they've got knowledge, and they've got understanding that came by experience. Experience is the best teacher. You can go to school and learn out of a book how everything works, but then you put you in a situation where you got to use it, and it just, boy, you find out how much better experience is than book learning. When we were in Mexico, you know, we didn't go to language school. We just moved down there in the middle of it. And, oh, it was very difficult, extremely difficult. But we learned the language. The others went to language school, and they could come down there and they could maybe say things, but they couldn't. When somebody answered them, they couldn't understand them. I remember being down in the market one day. There was another missionary there. Had been in Mexico 11 years, I believe, at that time. And he was trying to do something as simple as buy a Pepsi from a vendor there in the market. And it was the awfulest scene you ever seen in your life. He was asking how much, and the vendor would tell him. And he couldn't understand him. And I could. I hadn't been there very long, and I could understand what was being said, but he couldn't understand. And he got mad at the vendor and railed on him because he couldn't understand how much he wanted for that Pepsi Cola. So, experience, see. I don't know what his deal was, but I know we met another family that had been down there 7 or 8 years, and none of the kids could speak any Spanish. And we thought it was kind of strange because we'd been there 3 or 4 months and our kids were just doing fine. Better than... Yeah. Experience. You got to do something. You got to experience life. You got to do it. Let me hurry. David still led his kingdom. He was still the king and he called the shots. He knew better now than ever how to deal with Philistines and how to win battles. Oh, I wish you all listen to this and get this. Because there's an application to the church. I mean, I'm not just telling a story and philosophizing here. This is all applicable to our work for God in the church. Here, this church. He knew how to fight Philistines better than he ever had in his life. He knew how to deal with them. He knew how to win. But more battles would be won with him directing from the throne than with him in the midst of the battle. And there will be less casualties with David governing from the throne than swinging his sword in the battle himself. Remember, wisdom is the principal thing, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing, not zeal. You'll always find it in young people, zeal. Just ambition and anxiousness to do something. I mean, it's true, it's right, and we've got to do something.
Yep.
That's not the first thing you need. You need wisdom.
That's right.
Young people don't have wisdom. I got very little of it.
Yeah, it's true.
Yep. Young fathers lack wisdom.
Yep.
Young husbands lack wisdom. Young Christians lack wisdom.
Yep.
So it's wisdom is the principal thing, not zeal, not strength. Just because you're strong. How strong were those giants? Well, they didn't prevail because they were strong. They fell. Because somebody knew how to fight them. Somebody knew how to overcome their strength. It's wisdom that's the principal thing, not courage.
Right.
It's wisdom, not work. It's wisdom, not enthusiasm.
Oh, that's so true.
And most churches nowadays are built on those things right there.
Yes.
You wet them, you win them, you wet them, you work them. That's how it is. You get them in and you plug them in to some program you got so they won't leave and so they'll stay.
Mm-hmm.
It's built on enthusiasm, where most services are just like a pep rally at a ball game or something. You shout on a certain cue and you get up and you wave your arms and you dance and you holler. And that's what it's about. It's enthusiasm and excitement. That's not the principal thing. You got to know what you're doing. Or it's just going to be a big kaboom and it'll all just settle down and there'll be nothing left.
Exactly.
We're to let our light shine.
Mm-hmm.
Not blink, not twinkle, not explode. We're to let our light shine. That's a steady, consistent, constant light.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Young men can fight. Yes, they can. And a lot of them like to fight. They look for a fight. That's right. There ain't a fight going on back there, is it? And they're ready to fight at the drop of a hat. One thing David had, one of the problems he had throughout all of his life here, was holding his men back. They wanted to fight too much. They wanted to kill, I mean, right now. Just let me, I'll take his head off. Just one swipe. No, David. No, you sons of Zeruiah, you're too hard for me.
Right.
So, old men know when to fight. They know when not to fight. They know how to avoid fights. Young men don't even consider that. I mean, you say something, you do something, it's fight right now. We'll settle this right now. They need some old man to govern them. That's why young men fight the wars. But old men direct them.
Yes, sir.
But above all, they know how to win fights. And life is a struggle and it's a conflict on every hand. We got it all the time. But the older you are, the more wise you're going to be, unless you're a fool, you'll know how to win. And isn't that the end game? I mean, isn't that what we want?
Yes, sir.
We want to win. We don't want to lose.
No.
Who knows how to win? Somebody's won it a bunch of times. Maybe somebody's lost a few times. And they're able to see their mistakes. So let us live our lives preparing to take our place when we're old. Hey, do that. Live a righteous life before God and before others. Let me read you a little passage of Scripture here in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 2 through 5. This is Samuel. Israel wanted a king. Samuel was the last judge of Israel. He judged Israel until Saul became the king. Samuel was a good man. Listen to this. He said, "And now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before His anointed, whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it to you." Can you grow old and have that kind of boldness to get the whole everybody you know, everybody that knows you before you and say this to them? All right. Who has aught against me? Tell me, who have I done wrong? When have I ever done anybody wrong? And they said, thou hast not defrauded us or oppressed us. Neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto them, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, he is witness. They said, we want a king. Samuel was ruling over them. Everything was, that's the state of everything when Samuel ruled over them. Everything was wonderful. But they wanted a king. So that's why he said, you're all a witness against yourself before the Lord right here today. I didn't do it. This is not because I did you wrong. This is not because I didn't lead you right. I'm saying to you, live your life preparing to take your place when you're old. Live a righteous life before God and before others like Samuel did there. And that'll make it easy for your friends and your family to rise up before your gray head and honor you and protect you and take the load off your shoulders. Leviticus 19, verse 32. I'll be done. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. Now, you understand better why God said that? Old man may be weak in body, and even in mind maybe. His ability to think right and express his thoughts, but they're there. They're a deep well. A hard man's a deep well. You got to draw it out. Wisdom's in there. You got to draw it out. You ever read that? The wise draw it out. He's probably not going to waste his time trying to tell you things when you're not going to listen.
That's right.
When you won't listen. When you still got that stubborn, know-it-all, headstrong, youthful attitude, the old man ain't. He's just going to smile at you and shake his head.
Right.
Here's an example. David was a good example how to handle old age. And the people that around him, they showed a good example of how to deal with somebody that gets old on them. I see a bad attitude in a lot of people nowadays. They just want to shove them out of the way, like they're, and they want to stick them somewhere, sideline them. You know, there's a lot of factors here involved. We're living in a time where everything's so degenerated that, you know, Esther has to do things to training and whatever, but, you know, they're trying to prepare for the what's coming into the nursing homes in the next few years here. This sodomite generation, they're going to be in the nursing homes. Oh.
Right.
What's that going to be like? The ones that are in there now that are slowly, quickly fading out now, they're the old-timers that used to go to church on Sunday and they know all the hymns and that's what they like. But the next generation coming in, they're the ones that forsook God, didn't go to church and don't know the hymns and don't care and they hate God and they love evil and they live filthy and they're out of their minds and they're crazy and they're mean. So, we got that is a factor here also.
Yeah. Right.
But God's law about it is plain. The hoary head is a crown of honor, crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. Mm-hmm. Search them out. They're around. You can find them. You can go to a nursing home. You can find a few of those right there. Men and women. You see a different attitude. You have that have a different spirit. They're not going to be a preaching to you. They'll be, but there's water to be drawn out if you just draw it out. There's others there that are in la-la land because of their life they've lived. And they've got to this old age and they've just lost all the knots have come untied and everything's unraveled. And It's sad.
Yep.
You feeling old, Mike? Man, you're just 43? Four? No, nah, he's not that old. You 46 already? Wow. Well, I remember when I was 46 and I felt about as good as ever. Then. You know, it's little things when you go to, you know, I ain't never had arthritis or nothing like that, but I grabbed up a pair of snips or something the other day, a pair of pliers, and I was going to trying to, and I've been having troubles there with it, but I couldn't do it. And I've always had real strong grip. You know, I could take a bathroom scale and squeeze it all the way around. And old Harry that weighed 350 pounds, he'd get about 180 pounds, and it burned him up. That little old skinny me could squeeze them scales around. Can't do it now. It's little things like that that it's like a red light goes to blinking. Most of you don't know what I'm talking about. About everybody here is younger than me. I'm the oldest person here, ain't I?
Your dad's in here?
Oh, that's Dad. Well, besides Dad. Well, a lot of people mix this up. You know, somebody at the mill the other day told Dad, he said, I told your dad there, talking about me. He said that to Dad. A lot of them say, y'all brothers or what? Yeah.
You need to get some glasses like Grandpa, maybe you look younger.
Women are a little different than men. You know, men generally, and not so much in our day, I guess, but all through the ages, men have had a heavier physical load. I mean, their work is the hard physical work. I think of Granny, you know, used popping beans yesterday. If she was there, she'd be there popping beans. And you needed to let her do it. Because she can do that. Just because you're old don't mean you can't do that.
True.
She always wanted to cook and make desserts. That was what'd she tell you, Esther, when you interviewed her at the nursing home? She liked to...
What made her happy.
Was cooking for her family. Of course, when she got real old, why, you know, we'd find so much hair and stuff in it that it was hard to deal with. But they just need to be... What's the harm in that? They got to feel... Yes. Yeah, amen. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the way it is. And thank you for your mercy and your instruction in all of this. Thank you for the wisdom to understand. Lord, help us. I pray for the young people here. I know they don't understand this. I didn't when I was young either. When I was their age, I didn't think about these things. It just didn't register with me. But Lord, I pray that we'd all be prepared, realizing that we're going to be there one of these days, and it'll be us. And strength does fail. And sin in this world brings death every time. Every time. We start dying from the day we're born. And Lord, one of these days, our strength's going to just fade and fade and fade out until it's gone. But I pray you'd help us to live for you and to live righteously so that we'll be a blessing even in our old age. And as the psalmist prayed about not forsaking me in my old age, Lord, help us to be a blessing and to store up treasures for that harvest time of our life. Help us, Lord, to remember these things in Jesus' name. Amen.